Okay, so we're looking here at Megillah Daf Gimel Amud Aleph. The Gemara says that we dash in the pasuk Mishpachu Mishpacha, and the Gemara says this teaches us that Kohanim are mevatel their avoda, Levim are mevatel their avoda for the sake of Mikra Megillah. And we discussed that according to Tosfos, there's a conflict here because the Zman HaVoda is daybreak, and at the other hand, that's when the Tzibur gathers together to read the Megillah. So at that moment, you have a conflict between two mitzvahs, and the question is which mitzvah takes precedence. And that's where Rabbi Yossi, Rabbi Chanina, derives from this pasuk, Mishpacha, Mishpacha, to indicate both Kahuna Ulaviyah. Then the Gemara quotes a statement, Kida Amar Rav Yehuda Amar Rav, Kanim Vavodasam Ulevim Biduchanam V'Yisrael B'Ma'amadam Kulam Mevatlim Avodasam Uboim L'Shma Mikra Megillah. Interesting that if you compare the two statements, that of Rabbi Yossi on the one hand and that of Rabbi Yehuda Amar Rav on the other hand, you'll notice one thing, that whereas Rabbi Yossi focuses on two mishpachos, namely Kahuna and Leviyah, Rabbi Yehuda Amar Rav adds another mishpacha, namely Mishpachas Yisrael, Yisrael b'mamodom. And the question is there some sort of a possible discrepancy between the two? Is it possible that Rabbi Yossi Rabbi Chanina understands that there's no need for a pasuk for Yisrael b'mamodom? You know, there's no question that Yisrael b'mamodom is low on the totem pole here, that their participation here in the process of bringing the Korban Tamid is based on a pasuk, as Rashi quotes it, Dibra Maskel V'Yisrael B'Ma'amadam. Rashi says, quoting a Mishnah, Masechta Tainis Tishmeru, it's the pasuk says, we say it every morning in the Korban Tamid, Tishmeru L'Hakrav L'Bemoado, and we require a Shmira, but Shmira is not an actual participation in the Avodah itself. You know, the Kohanim are doing the Avodah. There's halach of Tishmeru that Bnei Yisrael have to, so to speak, oversee or supervise the Hakravas HaKarban, and that relates the Karban Tamid to the entire Tzibur of Klal Yisrael, but that's not an active participation in the Avodah itself. So perhaps Rabbi Yossi Rabbi Chanina doesn't need a third Mishpacha. He has two mishpachos because, you know, once you derive the conclusion that a Kohen is mevatel his avod, Levim, that sing at the time of the avod, they really actively participate in the Hakravas HaKarban, how much more, and yet they still have to be mevatel their avodah for the sake of Mikra Megillah, uh-huh. Then how much more so in the case of Yisrael B'Ma'amadam, which is not an integral part and an essential part of the mitzvah of avodah. Therefore, certainly they would have to be mevatel their ma'amadam, you know, for the sake of Mikra Megillah, and therefore there's no need for another pasuk. Rav Yehuda Amar Rav is not interested in darshaning the pasuk. You know, that's not his goal. He's not addressing the pasuk and what you derive from the pasuk and why it says mishpachu mishpacha. He's rather setting up the halacha. He's sort of formulating a halachic principle, a rule, and he's saying, you should know that all three segments of Klal Yisrael who are involved in the Avodah in one sense or another, either directly, actively, or in the peripheral for Tishmeru, they all have the same principle, namely they drop their Avodah, or at least, let's say, postpone the Avodah for the sake of coming to hear Mikra Megillah. You could add a little bit even more than that. The question here is, how do you know that Mishpachu Mishpacha, how does Rabbi Yossi know a priori that Mishpachu Mishpacha refers to Kahuna and Leviyah? Perhaps the word Mishpacha refers to Yisrael, that's one Mishpacha. The next Mishpacha will go up one level, refers to Leviyah. But you don't have a third Mishpacha to tell you Kahuna. And then if I would darshan it in that way, then I would say that Leviyim are also not directly involved in bringing the Karban. The Levim add the background music, and their Shira enhances the Karban, and we would call it maybe a Hechsher Avodah. It's part of the peripheral part of the Avodah, but it doesn't really touch on the involvement in the Hakravas HaKarban. They're not doing any of the four Avodahs. That's incumbent upon the Kohanim.
So we're not actually going to be mevatel avoda according to that.
So maybe we could argue against Rabbi Yossi. How do you know, Rabbi Yossi, that mishpacha comes to include even the highest rung on the ladder, meaning even the Kohanim, and then mevatel the avoda mamish for the sake of mikra megillah? No, we need the Kohanim. That's absolute. Without the Kohanim, we can't even bring the karma, because the Tamid needs the Kohanim. That's indispensable. Uh-huh. You're talking about the other parts of the Avoda that enhance the Avoda and, how shall I say, accompany the Avoda, namely the Levim Bishiram and the Yisraelim Biduchanam. Those we can drop and we can still maintain the Avoda. So what will happen when it's time, Mishaher Hayom, at daybreak, and it's the Zman Avoda? We'll say the following: Mishpacha, Mishpacha. The Levim and the Yisraelim will be Mevatel their participation in the Avoda, what I call their peripheral participation, namely the Shiras HaLevim and the Amida B'duchanam of the Yisraelim, the Ma'amados, that we're willing to drop for the sake of Pirsumei Nisa, to get the Yisraelim and the Levim to participate in the Mikra Megillah. But Kohanim, there's no third word, Mishpacha, to tell you that the Kohanim should drop the Avoda, and they are the integral part of the Asiyas Avoda for the sake of Mikra Megillah. We're worried about the Avoda here. If we can get the Kohanim to do the Avoda, we're willing to wave our hands in the air and drop the other embellishments of the Avoda, the other Hechsherei Avoda, namely the Levim and the Yisraelim. But what we absolutely find indispensable, we can't give up on it, is the Kohanim Bavodasam. Kamashmol and Rabbi Yossi, Rabbi Chanini, that's not so. That the word Mishpacha doesn't refer to Yisrael. Yisrael is not called Mishpacha. Yisrael is all of Klal Yisrael. All the Mishpachos of Klal Yisrael make up the people of Israel. Mishpacha means those separate groups or branches of Israel that have their own Mishpacha, they have their own Yichus. For example, Yisrael doesn't have to be Miyuchas to any particular Shevet. He doesn't have to be identified or belong to any particular Shevet. Except maybe at the time before the Heter of Hasavas Nachla, maybe there was halacha that you shouldn't marry out of your Shevet, but that was in a very limited sense and only applied during a certain period of time. Today, for example, when they ask you, if you're a guest and then you all of a sudden you show up in shul, you're a stranger, they won't ask you what shevet you belong to. You know, you may be miyuchas, you have a shtar yuchsin that takes you back to Rashi, and therefore you're from Shevet Yehuda. That they're not going to even bother with that. They don't care what shevet you're from. What they care about, do you belong to Mishpachas Kehuna, or do you belong to Mishpachas Leviyah? And beyond that, there are no Mishpachas, there are no separate entities. It's all Klal Yisrael, it's one mixture. So therefore, Rabbi Yossi Bar Chanina, he interprets the pasuk Mishpacha Mishpacha to referring to Kahuna and to Leviyah. He doesn't even need a pasuk for Yisrael. Yisrael is Ma'amados. The Ma'amados we can give up on for the sake of Mikra Megillah. That was a Dover Poshen, and we can derive from a Kal V'chomer. Ma'adach, if the Torah says Mishpacha Mishpacha, that even Kohanim and Leviyah will forego their Avoda Bizmana, the Kohanim B'Avodasim and Leviyah B'Duchana, for the sake of what? Of Pirsumei Nisa, to join the entire Tzibur in that one public communal reading of the Megillah, how much more so will the Yisraelim give up their Ma'amados for that mitzvah of Pirsumei Nes? Therefore, Rabbi Yossi Rab Chanina, once he has the two words, Mishpacha, Mishpacha, one for Kahuna and one for Levi, doesn't need to find another pasuk in a drasha to derive the conclusion that Yisrael B'Ma'amados will drop their status of Ma'amados, their mitzvah of Ma'amados, for the sake of Mikra Megillah. On the other hand, when it comes to Rabbi Yehuda Marav, he's telling you the halakhic principle, and he's going to tell you straight across the board, Kohanim, Levim, and Yisrael. Let's go on in the Gemara. Mikan somchu shall base Rebbe shemevatlim Talmud Torah uboim lishma mikra megillah. So Rebbe was very excited, he and his yeshiva students, that they came up with the new halacha, and they said, look, if you've established that for the sake of Pirsum Anes and mikra megillah bizmano, to come and join the tzibur for mikra megillah, you'll be mevatel the avoda, then likewise we should be mevatel Talmud Torah. And the Gemara says that they derived it from a Kal v'chomer. Because Uma Avoda Shei Chamura. Avoda has even more of a significance in the overall picture of mitzvahs than Talmud Torah. And yet we're mevatel the avoda for the purpose of Mikra Megillah, because we want to be mekayim the mitzvah of Mikra Megillah with the assembly of Klal Yisrael, the congregation. They're reading the Megillah at that time, at daybreak. Talmud Torah, lo kol shekein have Talmud Torah, which is relatively kal with a kuf, in comparison to avoda. Certainly, the halacha would be that you would push off Talmud Torah for the sake of Mikra Megillah B'tzibur. Now, the question I wanted to raise with you, and we discussed it in the past, is that Talmud Torah is a continuous mitzvah. It's ongoing. V'gisa bo yomam v'layla, every spare moment that you have, that you're not dedicated to, you're taking care of your biological needs, etc., etc., then you should be learning. So what are we going to say? That Talmud Torah really pushes off all mitzvahs, and you'll tell me that Mikra Megillah is a mitzvah d'rabbanon, and therefore Talmud Torah should push off Mikra Megillah. Now, the Beis Rebbe are working very, very hard to find a source from which they could derive the conclusion that you drop Talmud Torah for the sake of Mikra Megillah. Why do they need such a derivation? Isn't it a davar pashut that you drop Talmud Torah, which is a continuous mitzvah, for the sake of a mitzvah overes, a mitzvah which has to be fulfilled at that particular time? And the answer, I believe, in the Havamina of Rebbe was what we call to be kovea itim la Torah. That there are certain definite time periods that you've set aside, you dedicated an interval of time within the course of your day for the study of Torah. Once having set aside that point of time for the mitzvah of Talmud Torah, it takes on a whole new status. And it gets a chashivus that cannot be pushed off. And certainly, how much more so if you dedicate that period of time to study Torah with others, let's say you're giving a shiur, so then you shouldn't be dropping that particular aspect or dimension of Talmud Torah for the sake of another mitzvah. And in this case, Talmud Torah becomes like avoda. Just like we said that avoda mishaher ayom, that's the zman ha-avoda, that's the time that should be dedicated to the avoda. So too, there's a time period that specifically increases, intensifies your chiyuv, your obligation to study Torah, because you've designated it as such. It becomes like the avoda, the shas, zman ha-mitzvah, the zman of Talmud Torah. Once you have not just the regular filtered out general mitzvah of Talmud Torah that spreads out throughout the entire day and the entire week, but you have a concentrated pinpoint in time, that moment is the zman of Talmud Torah because of the dedication that you've dedicated that time for the study of Torah, then it becomes like avoda. But Rebbe comes along and says it's even greater than avoda. Is it not? No. Avoda is greater than Talmud Torah. Why doesn't Rebbe say that Talmud Torah is greater than avoda? For some reason, unknown to us, Rebbe assumes that avoda is greater than Talmud Torah. And we have to understand why. And therefore, if we drop avoda, or at least push off avoda, for the sake of Talmud Torah, then how much more so, for the sake of avoda, excuse me, then how much more so should we push off Talmud Torah? Even in its specific time period that has been designated, its kvius itim, even that should be pushed off for the sake of Mikra Megillah. In other words, if Mikra Megillah has the power to push off avoda, then how much more so, says Rebbe, it has the power to push off Talmud Torah. What led Rebbe to that conclusion that the mitzvah of avoda is greater than the mitzvah of Talmud Torah? I don't know. I don't have any clue. Let's leave that as a question for the time being. But one thing is clear, that in the context of Rebbe, there's a conflict here. On the one hand, we saw the conflict before between Avoda and Mikra Megillah. Now Rebbe has a conflict between Talmud Torah and Mikra Megillah. Why is that so? Isn't Mikra Megillah itself a mitzvah of Talmud Torah? Before we get to that question, let's ask a different question. When Rabbi Yossi Bar Chanina says Mevatlin Avoda for the sake of Mikra Megillah, what does he mean? Does he mean that the avodah will not be fulfilled? Or does he mean that the avodah will be fulfilled, but later on, he has time to do it later on, but the avodah bizmana will be batel, would be undermined for the sake of Mikra Megillah, the Mikra Megillah of the Tzibur. In other words, what I'm asking is, what would be the law in the following collision? If you had a conflict between Avodah and Mikra Megillah in such a way that there's no possibility whatsoever fulfilling the Avodah, it's either now or never. Tulsa says, if you take a look here, Dibra Maskum Avat, Yesh Harbi Shahus Li Avodah. Tulsa works with the premise that you have a lot of time for the Avodah. The Avodah stretches from daybreak until dusk, and therefore the Mikra Megillah can be reconciled with the avodah. You could efshalakam shneim. You could do both. Admittedly, you'd have to forfeit the pirsum anes dimension of mikra megillah for the sake of avodah bizmana. But be that as it may, the pirsum anes takes precedence over avodah bizmana. But it doesn't mean that we're undermining the avodah entirely. He could fulfill the avodah a little bit later. Yeshuhus Bayom. He'll just forfeit the Avodah Bizmana Avodah Mishaheir Hayom. So the Ran says that in a case where there would be an absolute conflict between Megillah and Avodah, in such a way that you will not be able to fulfill the Avodah later on, you cannot postpone it, it's either now or never, says the Ran, that's clear. There's no question about that, that Avodah takes precedence to the mitzvah of Megillah. Why? Because the mitzvah avodah is a mitzvah d'oraisa, whereas the mitzvah of Megillah is only a mitzvah d'rabbanan. And therefore, says the Ran, there's no question that a mitzvah d'oraisa takes precedence over a mitzvah d'rabbanan. Does everybody agree with the Ran? And the answer is no. There are opinions, there are more actually paskins like the Ran, and he says clearly that if you won't be able to fulfill the Avodah later, then for sure Avodah trumps Mikra Megillah, and so far as Avodah is the Raisa, Megillah is only the Rabbanon. However, there are Rishonim who hold not like the Ran. The Ritva quotes an opinion that says that in afiluim ein shahus li achara megillah, if there's no time after the megillah to fulfill the avodah, gamkein doche kriyas hamegillas avodah. Wow, this is a pretty radical position, that megillah will completely knock off avodah even though there's no possibility of fulfilling the Avodah at all. And the Ritva says that the way this operates is based on a principle which the Gemara establishes in Masechta Yevamos, that Chachomim Okrim Dover Min HaTorah B'Shei V'Altaseh. The Chachomim have the license, the authority, to push off a mitzvah shel Torah. They say, don't fulfill a mitzvah d'oraisa. And in this case, they do it for the sake of Mikra Megillah. Do you know of any other case where the Rabbanan will tell you not to do a mitzvah, and they have the power to tell you, even though the Torah commands you to do that mitzvah? Do you remember the case of Shofar on Rosh Hashanah if it falls on Shabbos?
You don't do shofar.
Why not? It's what's called Gzeir de Rabba. Yesh kof yad chachonim, lakad up in a Torah. They tell you in this case, don't blow the shofar. But don't take the lulav if the first day of Sukkot coincides with Shabbos.
The Rabbanim can tell you to do that.
Correct. So there is such a power. The Rabbanim have the power to be okir dov in a Torah b'shei v'altaseh. And therefore, says the Ritva, the name of this Yesh Mefarshim, that Yesh kof b'yad chachom. The chachom are going to tell you, if you're a kohen, don't do the avodah, and give up on the mitzvah of avodah d'oraisa for the sake of Megillah d'rabbanan. Then he offers a second interpretation as to why, the underlying reason why you would give up the Avodah Doraisa for the sake of Megillah Dirabbanan. And he says, Mishum de Persume Nisa Adif, that Pirsum Anes is powerful and it overrides the mitzvah of Avodah. Now, perhaps what he means in that case is that Pirsum Anes is a Doraisa. Maybe means that even though the mitzvah of Mikra Megillah is Drabanan, there is, as we've discussed in the past, a Kiyum Doraisa in Mikra Megillah, because the Pirsum Anes is a Kiddush Hashem, and it's a Shevach Vodoya, it's a Kiyum Halil, and maybe Pirsum Anes is even greater than a mitzvah Doraisa, like Avoda. This I don't know. But one thing is clear, that according to the Ritva, the name of the Yesh Mefarshim, the halacha mevatlin es avoda l'mikra megillah is an absolute halacha, straight away, all the way from A to Z, and it applies even in a case where the avoda cannot be fulfilled later on. That's a pretty amazing shita, and the Taz, in Siman Tafresh Pei Zion, says that if megillah is docha Talmud Torah, you won't be able to fulfill the mitzvah Talmud Torah later on, because every minute is a separate mitzvah. Says the Taz, apparently the power of Megillah to be mevatel a mitzvah, even a mitzvah Doraisa, is all-inclusive, ad infinitum, even if it means that mitzvah Doraisa will not be able to be fulfilled. Because if we've seen this in the precedent of Talmud Torah, we should apply that to Avoda, and therefore the Taz comes to the conclusion that mevatlim Avoda, even legamre, for the sake of Mikra Megillah. Except that he gives a slightly different twist as to why Megillah overrides the mitzvah d'oraisa of Avoda. He's not willing to apply the principle of Yesh Koch Biyad Chacham Laker Dov Min HaTorah V'Shevi Al Taseh, but rather he says Mikra Megillah Hu Midivrei Kabbalah, and Divrei Kabbalah Harei Hu Kid'oraisa. He says that Mikra Megillah is like a mitzvah d'oraisa because it's derived from the Megillah itself. The Megillah itself is part of Tanakh, and therefore it has the power of Ke'em d'oraisa, and as a result, it can override the mitzvah of Avoda d'oraisa. So again, there are two explanations in the Ritva as to why Mikra Megillah is docha a mitzvah d'oraisa. Both premises, both assume that we're not dealing with a mitzvah d'oraisa, whereas the Taz adds this other element that mitzvah megillah is a mitzvah came d'oraisa because it's midivrei kabbalah. There would be an afkamina between the two approaches, that of the Ritva and that of the Taz, in the case of Megillah reading at night. Megillah reading at night is not derived from the Megillah itself. When the Megillah says Hayom Eilu Nizkarim V'Nasim, it's referring to the Megillah reading by day. Rabbi Yishuv ben Levi adds Megillah reading at night, so that Megillah reading would not be upgraded to the status of Divrei Kabbalah Kedivrei Doraisa, Kein Doraisa, and therefore presumably, if you had a mitzvah Doraisa, a choice between a mitzvah Doraisa and Megillah reading at night, according to the Taz, which would take precedence?
The mitzvah
d'oraisa, because you can't say Divrei Kabbalah at night.
So you don't have the Torah?
But on the other hand, if you go with the Ritva, that the Ritva is saying that Yesh Koch Biyad Chachomim Laker Dov Min HaTorah, that could apply to mitzvah Megillah in all its forms, in all its shapes, even though at night it's not based on Divrei Kabbalah, but it is a mitzvah d'rabbanan to read the Megillah at night. And Yesh Koch Biyad Chachomim Laker Dov Min HaTorah. So if you had a special interval of time designated for Talmud Torah at night, right? Because the Torah says V'yisa bo yom v'alayla. The Rambam says in Ilchos Talmud Torah you have to be kovei itim la Torah both shom and ayom and shom and alayla. Then if you had that shah that was designated to Talmud Torah at night, you would have to give it up for the sake of Mikra Megillah, even though that would come under Talmud Torah d'oraisa for sure, and any other mitzvah d'oraisa that would come up at night, you would have to give it up for the sake of Mikra Megillah. Why? Because Yesh Koch Biyad Chacham Lakar Dov Min HaTorah. But if you go to Taz about Divrei Kabbalah Kidoraisa, then I don't think that would apply to Megillah reading at night. But let's read the next Gemara And let's see what the cash of the Gemara is on Rebbe. We said that according to Rebbe, you will be mevatel both avoda and certainly Talmud Torah for Mikra Megillah. The Gemara says, is this true? The premise that Rebbe operates with is that avoda chamura. Is that true? Avoda chamura, is it true? Mi Talmud Torah? Vaksiv, we learn in the parasha of Milchemes Yericho, Vayhi Bios Yoshua Biyericho, Vayisa Eino Vayarvi Ne Ish Omed Kenegdo. Yoshua beholds a person who's standing Kenegdo, the Charbo Shlufiyot, and he has a cherub in his hand, so Yoshua approaches him. And he says to him, Halono Ata Im Litzarenu. Vayomer Lo, Ki Ani Sar Tzva Hashem, Ata Bosi, Vayipol Yoshua, El Panav Arzav Aishtachu, Vayomalo Ma Adoni Medabral Avdo. And the Gemara says that Yoshua was really asking this Malach, what problem has arisen in the Nihug, in the observance of Mitzvah Siyah, that you're coming to give us some sort of a castigation, Musa Shmuz, that we didn't fulfill the mitzvah properly. What mitzvah are we talking about? And the Gemara is going to tell us that this Malach approached Yoshua for two reasons. He was on the one hand upset that the night before, rather the afternoon before he came, they were mevatel the Tamid Shel Bein Arbayim, because they were involved in the, as we'll soon see, in the Aron. And tonight, they were mevatel Talmud Torah. And Yoshua is going to ask the Malach, which is the one that really brought you here? Why are you, you know, going to raise your voice against us with harsh words of Musa, of castigation? Is it that you're really concerned about the fact that we mevatel the Avoda? Or is it you're concerned that we mevatel Talmud Torah? And at the end, the Malach says, Ata Basi, I'm really bothered about what happened now. The last thing that happened at night, you were Mevatel Talmud Torah. So you see that Talmud Torah is even more Chamur than Megillah. But before we get to that, the Gemara takes a slight digression. The Hechi Ovid Hachi, this is like almost a Maimar Amuzgar, almost like a digression that should be put into brackets. How is it possible that Yoshua gave all this respect to this individual? Va'amar Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi, we have a principle from Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi, Asur li'odem she'yitain shalom l'chaveru balayla. We'll have to see under what conditions this halach applies, but pashta, straightforward, it seems that we're prohibited from saying shalom to our friend at night. Why? Chayshinan shema sheidhu. And shalom is the name of God, and you can't pronounce the name of God in front of a mazik, in front of a sheid. So how could he give all this respect and he bows down to the Malach? Isn't there a principle that you can't approach a Malach with a shame and say Shalom at night? Not a Malach, I should say, anyone at night, because that figure might be ashamed. In other words, the Gemara is taking a little bit of a trip over here on the side, and they want to know, how did Yoshua identify this individual as a Sar Tzva Hashem? Why didn't he? It was at night. It was dark. Maybe it was a shade that appears in the form of a human being, and he couldn't identify him. How did he know that he was a Malach? And he's going to ask him, you know, tell me what we did wrong over here. So the Gemara answers, Shiny Hosam Di Omar Le Ki Ani Sar Tzva Hashem. When he identified himself, this figure, he identified himself as a Sar Tzva Hashem. Yeah, but Dilma Meshakri, maybe he's a shade and he's lying. So the Gemara says, Gemiri, we have some sort of Mesores that Shadim Lo Mafki Shem Shamayim Levatola. Even the Shadim are very religious. And a shade would never mention the name of God. And here, he identified himself, Ani Sar Tzva Hashem, and he mentioned actually the name of God. And therefore, Yoshua knew that he was a Malach. So, Omar Lo, and the Malach answered Yoshua when Yoshua asked him, what's bothering you? Why are you coming? And Amar Lo, the Malach responds to Yoshua, Emesh, Bitaltem, Tamid, Shalbein Arbayim. You did not fulfill the mitzvah of Tamid, Shalbein Arbayim. And you extended your siege on the city of Yericho to such an extent that you weren't able to bring the Korban Shalbein Arbayim. And Achshav, now that it's nighttime already, Bitaltem, Talmud Torah. Omar lo, so Yeshua turns to the Malach, he says, Al Ezem Ambasa, in other words, which is primary? You're telling us that there's a real serious punishment that hovers over our heads like an albatross. What is it? Is it the bittul of the Talmud? That's a pretty severe Avera that you mavatli avoda, or is it the bittul of Talmud Torah? So the Malach answers him, Omar lo, Ata Basi. Ata means now, on that which happened now. Which means Talmud Torah. And the Gemara quotes the pasuk by Yolad Yoshua Balailahu Bitocha Emek. And Yoshua rested that night in the Emek, which literally means in a deep place. And the Gemara quotes Omer Rabbi Yochanan, this is symbolic, Malamid Shalon V'omka Shel Halacha. Does he try to fix up this, to rectify this Avera of Bitul Torah? And they dedicated themselves at night to the Omka Shel Torah. The Omer Rav Shmuel Bar Unya, Gadol Talmud Torah, knows the Aver of Bittul Torah is even worse, Yoser, Mi Hakravas Hatmidim, even from Bittul Hakarma, in this case the Talmud. Shenemar Atavasi. So you see very clearly that which is more chamur. The Malach had two possible reasons why he would come and tell the Jewish people, tell Yoshua and Yericho that they were worthy of punishment. Either because they were mevatel emesh, they were mevatel the mitzvah of hakravas hatamid the avoda, or tonight they were mevatel Talmud Torah. Which was more severe? Was it the avoda or the Talmud Torah? Just going to take a little water. When Yoshua asked the Malach, why are you coming? What's your primary gripe? Your complaint against the Jewish people, and you're telling us that we might get punished. Is it because we mevatel the avoda, or is it because we mevatel Talmud Torah? And the Malach responds, "Ata basi, I came on last. Now that at night you were mevatel Torah. So which? What do you see? Which is more chamur? Which bothered the Malach even more? Was it the bittul avoda or the bittul Talmud Torah?"
It came because they were mevatel Torah.
Torah. So you see that Torah is more severe, correct? So the question is then, how does Rebbe have the right to make a kal v'chomer that if mevatlin avoda l'mikra megillah, how much more so you mevatel Talmud Torah l'mikra megillah? That doesn't make logical sense. The premise that Rebbe is working with, namely that avoda is more chomer relative to Talmud Torah, doesn't seem to be borne out by this story of Yoshua in Yericho and the Malach Hashem. So the Gemara is going to try to suggest an answer to this. But before we get into that Gemara, I'd like to raise another issue with you. What does Yoshua do when he sees the Malach? Let's read the pasuk. The pasuk says, "Vayisa eino vayar v'nei ish omed kenegdo v'charbo shlufo biyodo v'yelach Yoshua elov v'yomer." He says to him, "Halonu atoim l'tzareinu." Vayomer lo, ki ani sar tzva Hashem, ata basi. Vayipol Yoshua al ponav arza, vayishtachu. He bows down. Now I have a problem with this, because you're not allowed to bow down to any force on the universe other than HaKadosh Baruch Hu, not even to a malach. And this question of how Yoshua was permitted to bow down to a Malach is addressed by the Ran in his Drushos. You're familiar with the Drushos HaRan? The Ran wrote a whole work called the Drushos HaRan. He wants to know what was the heter for Yoshua to bow down to a Malach. Now, before we see the Ran's answer, I want to mention to you the Ramban in his commentary on Shmos, Perek Yud Beis. Pasuk Yud Beis, It says v'lo yidei shaliach, that HaKadosh Baruch Vayotzeinu Hashem Mitzrayim. You remember in Leil HaSeder we say lo yidei malach, lo yidei shliach. So the Ramban says lo yidei shliach me'ito yizbarach. What is the shliach that you might think took the Jewish people out of Mitzrayim? Vayotzeinu Hashem Mitzrayim lo yidei shliach. It already says lo yidei malach. What's the shliach that you have to tell me that this shliach was not the messenger, that the power on earth that brought, that redeemed Klal Yisrael from Mitzrayim? Says the Ramban, I'm going to identify who the shliach is. Hashliach me'ito yizbarach lechol hamasim hanasim baretz. There's one shliach, you hear this? There's one shliach from HaKadosh Baruch Hu who's in charge of bringing about all the major events that happen on this earth. V'hu, and the Ramban even gives him a name, Hamalach HaGadol Shenikra Matatron. Did you ever hear Matatron? Did you ever meet him? He has a short name, Matati. No, I'm just kidding. His name is Matatron. And Matatron, Ramban identifies, only the Ramban can do this for us, as the Malach HaGadol. He's the greatest of Malachim. And he is the Shliach of HaKadosh Baruch Hu to bring about all the Masim HaNasim Baretz. So it would seem that when the drush of Chazal, Vayotzeinu Hashem Mitzrayim, Lo Yidei Malach, Lo Yidei Shaliach, who is this Shliach, says the Ramban? It's not a regular Malach. There are two grades of Malachim. There's the regular rank and file Malachim, and then there's the top banana, the top gun. Who's the top gun Malach? Matatron.
And you're allowed to...
Here's the question. The Ran in his drasha, you know, the Ran was later than the Ramban, but in his fourth drasha, he says that Yoshua, when he bowed down to a Malach, as it says, Vayipol Yoshua ponav arzo vayishtachu, how is it permissible for Yoshua to bow down to a Malach? The Torah says, and this is in the Aseret HaDibros, lo sasel chapesel v'chol tmuna asher v'shamayim mimal v'asher v'aretz mitochas lo tishtach v'lohem. You're not allowed to create any idol, and you're not allowed to bow down to any tmuna asher v'shamayim. And the Gemara says in Rosh Hashanah, daf chav dalet amid beis, what does asher v'shamayim come to include? L'rabos chama levana kochovim umazolos. So any of the heavenly celestial spheres. But then the pasuk says mimal, asher v'shamayim mimal, as if to apply to something even above the celestial spheres. And nevertheless, lo tishvach lehem, you're not allowed to bow down to them. L'rabo, says the Gemara Rosh Hashanah, malachi asheres. So there's a separate ribui which enjoins us from bowing down to a malach. Mm-hmm. People think, oh, I saw a malach, I have to bow down. No, that's not so. There's a separate lav in the Torah, in the Aseret HaDibros, of lo tishtach lehem, that includes even a malach. Says the Ran, that malach which Yoshua bowed down to, he was miyuchad bein hamalachim. He was special. He had a special status. He was singular. V'hu hamalach hamuzkar b'parshas mishpatim. And he refers to the parsha of mishpatim. After the Chet HaEgel, it says in Shmos Chav Gimel, hinei onoki sholeach malach lefanecha. He shomer miponov, ushma b'kolo al tamer bo, ki lo yiso lepishachem, ki shmi b'kirbo. There's a separate malach which God sends, and he's going to bring the Jewish people into Eretz Yisrael, and Kishvi Bikirbo. Says the Ran, Vitziva Lahani Kavod im Oso Malach. We have a special, separate chiyuv, a mitzvah of kavod for that malach, as the Torah says, Vishama Bikol al Tamer Bo. Yoser, says the Ran, mi malach acher, above and beyond any other malach. Mishum, and why do we have to give such an honor to this malach? Heyos ushmo shal HaKadosh Baruch Hu b'kirbo. The name of God is inside, in the very pnimius of this malach. The Omru Chazal, says the Ran, shezeh matatron. Sheshmo kishem rabo. Diksiv kishmi b'kirbi. Okay, it doesn't surprise us that the name of this malach is matatron. We already know that from the Ramban. But the Ran says that, why is this matatron such a special malach, a first grade malach? Because Shmi Bikirbo. There's some sort of identification of HaKadosh Baruch Hu and his name with this malach. And the Torah says that you have to respect this malach. And that mitzvah of kavod, vis-a-vis that malach of Matatron, that explains Yoshua's behavior pattern. Says the Ran, Also, Malach Nireh El Yoshua, this was the mouth that appeared to Yoshua. Ra Yoshua Shazam Malach HaNemar Olav. Shenemar Olav Kishmi Bikirbo. Umina Roy Lishtachvoslo Kimishtachvel Hashem Yisbar. Unbelievable chiddush. Again, I don't know how relevant this is in your life, how often you're going to have the opportunity to come face to face with a frontal encounter with Matachma. But he's a very high-powered Malach. And if you ever meet him, then according to the Ran, you can rely on Yoshua and bow down to him, which is an unbelievable chiddush. Because even though Shmi Bekirbo, he still is a Malach. And this is what Chazal mean when they say, Vayatzienu Hashem Mitzrayim, Lo Al Yedei Shliach. Who's this Shliach? HaKadosh Baruch Hu personally, B'chvod V'atzmo, redeems us Mitzrayim. He doesn't even send the Shliach, that Malach HaGadol of Matachron, who is Shmi Bekirbo. Fascinating, no?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Well, let's get back to our discussion before about this concept of Mevatlin Talmud Torah L'mikra Megillah. Why is that called Bittul Torah to hear the Megillah? After all, the Megillah is part of Kisvei HaKodesh, and if you read the Megillah, no doubt you fulfill the mitzvah of Talmud Torah. Why does the Gemara employ the concept or the language of Mevatlim Talmud Torah for Mikra Megillah? It's not Bittul Talmud Torah at all. And in this Yalkut Biurim here, he brings down a tshuva in the name of Rav Yaakov Landau, who is the son of the Nod of Yehuda, and he addresses this question: why is this called Mevatlim Talmud Torah L'shma Mikra Megillah, since Megillah itself is Torah? And Rav Yaakov Landau offered the following answer. He says that true, Kriyas HaMegillah itself is a Kiyum of Talmud Torah, but when a person is learning the Beis Medrash and he has to go to hear Megillah, then it involves getting up and packing out and walking to the shul to hear the Megillah reading. That halicha itself is a bittul of Torah. And the question would be, okay, I would stop my learning for the sake of Mikra Megillah if it didn't involve any bittul Talmud Torah. But here, that I'm not lucky, there's no Kriyas HaTorah here in the Beis HaMedrash, Kriyas HaMegillah, excuse me, here in the Beis HaMedrash, that's called a bittul of Torah because of the halicha. And that would answer a question that I always had. It says, Ubayim Lishma Mikra Megillah. Why the emphasis on Ubayim Lishma Mikra Megillah? Why couldn't it just say Mevatlin Talmud Torah Lim Mikra Megillah? The answer is the Ubayim, that's the bittul Talmud Torah, the coming. The halicha itself, that's the bittul Talmud Torah. So that's quoted in the Beis Ephraim. The Beis Ephraim himself offers an answer in a slightly different vein, based on the Gemara later on Daf Zion, that although the Gemara establishes that although Megillas Esther's Nitna Likasev, there was a permission, a license given to write Megillah, but there was no mitzvah to write it. There was no tzivui, so that it should be written for the purpose of Talmud Torah, as Nevi'im Uksuvin. It was Nitna Likasev, but only for the mitzvah of Kriya, based on the fact that that the Megillah was written Beruach HaKodesh, and therefore we read the Megillah Mitoch HaKsav. But the mitzvah of Kriyas HaMegillah is only a mitzvah of Kriya and Talmud Torah. Now, I don't know if the Beis Ephraim actually said this, and to be frank with you, I believe it borders on apikursus. I don't think that Mikra Megillah is less of a kiyum of Talmud Torah than any other part of the Torah. It's a chefetz shel Torah. In fact, I would say that when we study Masechta Megillah, which is all about the Rabbanan, a mitzvah of the Rabbanan, we still have a kiyum of Talmud Torah d'oraisa. It's no different than studying the mitzvah of Shabbos or the mitzvah of Lulav or the Iser of Arayas. I mean, it's all a chefetz shel Torah. I don't understand what the Beis Ephraim means. So let's leave the Beis Ephraim on the side for a minute. Maybe we can come back and make some sense out of it. There's an answer in a sefer called the Nefesh HaChaya. He wants to say that there are two chiyuvim in the mitzvah of Talmud Torah. Number one, there's the mitzvah of Igisa Bo Yomam V'Laila. and everybody has an equal share in that mitzvah. And number two, he says that there's a chiyuv iyun b'torah. That means if God bestowed upon a person chachma, he has a profound intellectual capability, and he could plummet into the depths of understanding the Torah and be mefalpel in the Torah. Such a person has a separate mitzvah of yigia b'torah, to understand the Torah on its deeper level. Now, supposing a person fits into that category, where he can fulfill the mitzvah Talmud Torah b'shleimus, not just at the level of studying Torah, shall we say, superficially, but he can get involved in an in-depth study, an iyun study, with Havana and with Chachma. So in such a case, you have a real problem with Mikra Megillah. Because if he drops his Talmud Torah b'iyun for the sake of Mikra Megillah, he's just going to hear the Megillah reading, then although he is involved in the first level of Talmud Torah, but he would undermine his ability to involve himself in that deeper level of Talmud Torah. And if he delays the mitzvah of Talmud Torah, although he will fulfill the mitzvah of Talmud Torah through Megillah on a superficial level, he will have forfeited the mitzvah of Talmud Torah b'iyun at a level of Chachma. And that's what Beis Rebbe wanted to derive from Avoda with their Kal v'Chomer. They, Beis Rebbe, were involved in what level of Torah study? Was it surface level or in-depth level? What do you think? In Rebbe's yeshiva.
I say in-depth.
In-depth. So for them to be mafsik Talmud Torah, that would undermine even the second formula, the second kiyum, or dimension of Talmud Torah. The Hagaya b'Torah, the Iyun b'Torah. And therefore, the question would be, should they drop that? I mean, that's not something that you can fulfill through Mikra Megillah, hearing the Megillah. Unless, of course, you hear the Megillah, and while you're hearing the Megillah, you are being mafalpel, and you're deriving new chidushim on a deeper level. But I don't know if I would recommend that during Megillah reading, because you're going to miss words, you know, you won't follow. The idea of Mikra Megillah is to hear the Megillah, hear the Megillah from beginning to end. You know, there's a famous story about Rav Aaron Kotler that he used to always ask Mechila from the Korei Batorah, Kriyas HaTorah on Shabbos, and told him, he said, look, I might have to slow you down, because sometimes I hear a pasuk and I delve into all sorts of depths of the pasuk, and then I don't hear the next pasuk, so I might ask you to repeat the next pasuk. But generally speaking, we could assume that even for Beis Rebbe to drop their Higayan Vitar, the Limud Be'iun Ba'amkus, for the sake of Mikra Megillah, they would forfeit that mitzvah of Talmud Torah, that dimension of Talmud Torah, the second dimension of Hagaya Vitara. And that's what they wanted to derive from Avoda, that if, despite the great significance, the heavy, weighty mitzvah of Avoda, nevertheless, we forfeit that mitzvah for the sake of Mikra Megillah, then we would do the same for the mitzvah of Talmud Torah.